Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Road to the Garden show. I am Michael DeRosa here with Tommy Gunn. Tommy, how you doing, buddy?
I'm great, Michael. Thank you for holding down the fort in my absence last week. You and Chris both did a marvelous job. Fun episode to listen to. I'm happy to be back, but cannot match the level of ball knowledge that you two have. Maybe one day.
Yeah, maybe one day. I think you can get there. You know, it was a long journey for me. You know, it took many hours of studying. I just guess on most of the things I say, and people seem to think like I know what I'm talking about. I just make it up. It's really just pulling it out of my ass and just being like, yeah, this guy can shoot. And then you look at the box where it's like 22% from three. You're like, ah, beans. But no, you know.
Connor Copeland. He is 22% from three. I think Bronny's 23% from three.
Bronny can actually shoot, though. Like, you watch him, and he can actually shoot.
Three and D.
Yeah, so 3&D gets so overused. That term will annoy me during portal season. I mean, we're just hitting it off now. Like, Bensley Joseph is a name I've seen thrown around a couple Big East schools, St. John's, Providence. People say 3&D. He's a good shooter. He's not a good defender. Like, I shouldn't say he's not a good defender. He's not a great defender. He's a fine defender. But, like, when I'm saying 3&D, it's usually someone who's a really good three-point shooter, really good defender. And he is probably more than a three-point shooter offensively. And he's, like, an average defender, maybe slightly below, honestly. I don't know. That term gets so overused, and I'm going to get annoyed by it. So
that term, I mean, this is good get season. There's never been a bad get in the portal. Every addition to every team is good.
I can think of a couple bad gets that I thought at the time were bad gets and that definitely panned out to be bad gets.
Sure, sure. But not the general consensus. It's good get season. It's portal season.
Has any team ever landed a recruit and been like, fuck? Like, shit. This guy sucks.
I'm going to have to come back to that.
Like,
I think not because of skill. Obviously, he's very skilled, but I think Arizona could be getting a little over their head with Joseph Sanone a little bit, if that's how you pronounce it.
Yeah.
He visits Providence 25, 30 times and then commits to Arizona, one of the biggest party schools in the country.
Like 15.
I don't know. I don't know. There's some red flags there for me, but he definitely does not conventionally suck at basketball.
Oh, goodness, no.
Yeah.
So, anyway, Road to the Garden, past Big East. Shout out the Big East. Do we want to start with sad times?
Yeah. Yeah, we lost two teams since our last game.
Why are we still here?
Oh,
just to suffer.
The music is ticking today.
I can feel my leg.
Great to Marquette, Mike. You'll talk to me about one of them.
We'll start with Marquette first. How the fuck did they lose that game? How? First of all, shout out to NC State. The run is fun. Like, objectively speaking, they are fun. It's a fun run, and we're really rooting. Like, I don't know about we, but, like, they were fun to root for, especially against Duke, because, like, it's Duke. Right. But, yeah, this was, like, a Marquette season. Seemed like everything, especially after – did Marquette play first? Yeah, they played the first game, but especially considering that Jamal Shedd gets injured, everything kind of opened up for Marquette to make a run, make a Final Four. I mean, we broke the Amy Winehouse curse. But now they couldn't hit water if they fell out of a boat. And that's how they ended up losing NC State. If you look at any of those nerd sites, like the shot quality or whatever they won, I think that's kind of partially flawed because I think kind of some of the reason NC State gave them a lot of the shots they did was because they couldn't hit them.
Right.
So I think there's obviously a give and take there. But at the same time, Marquette also got probably better shots than NC State just lost, so it was weird, but yeah, I don't know how we feel about this Marquette season, frankly. I think that's a question probably we might be at, like, too soon time to ask that. I don't know. Maybe that's a next week question. There's a tease for next episode.
Yeah, next episode's going to be fun. I agree with everything you said there. The one thing I'll correct a little bit is the Amy Winehouse joke is not dead. We're just moving the goalposts a little bit from the Sweet 16 to the Elite Eight. So the joke shall live on in infamy on this podcast. But yeah, I'm going
to
ride
that. Winehouse in college basketball, Road to the Garden.
Road to the Garden. You got to get Amy Winehouse merch out here pretty soon. But yeah, I mean, to be honest with you, I thought they were lucky to win the game against Colorado, who's a much better team than NC State. That was a tough, tough matchup for them. Tristan Da Silva is a dog. He's just an absolute bucket getter. I really thought Colorado was going to pull through in that one. They snuck by it 81-77. But yeah, that's definitely a question to answer last week. I mean, looking back on this Marquette season, it was fine. I mean, where were they picked in the preseason? Were they fourth, third, or fourth?
In the Big East or in the country?
Big East.
Wasn't Marquette first in the Big East?
Oh, was that ours that they were third?
I know I had them first, and I know that was wrong.
Well, that actually helps my point out more. If they were first in the Big East poll, didn't win the Big East regular season, didn't win the Big East championship, then another early, well, not early, but another exit here in March before you get to play the cool games where you get the cool merch on the cool beds in Phoenix, Arizona. Did you see that? The NCAA is doing it up, and apparently DJ Burns gets like a king size bed and UConn sleeping on like cots and shit. You see all that stuff?
No, I didn't.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Big controversy. There's a lot UConn fans are waffling about on Twitter right now between the flight getting them there 62 hours before their tip, which is, I guess, absurd. The NCAA is out to get them, and then they get to their hotel, and Stephon Castle, I believe it was, posted an Instagram story, and it was like a twin bed, and you've been to hotels before. It was like our hotel in New York where they had like a twin bed on this side and then like a nightstand in the middle and a twin bed on that side. DJ Burns posts his. It's like a presidential suite. Like, he's got a king size bed. He's got a balcony, some room to like run around and stuff. So I'll DM it to you on Twitter. But the NCAA is out to get UConn right now,
dude. That's crazy, because when I usually think of the UConn fan base, I think they're very rational and they don't really like try to get into any sort of fights. I think they just kind of like, they're really calm, cool, collected, and they'd really keep to themselves. So that actually surprises me. But the NCAA is dumb, but Marquette, they lost. And then we look at like Marquette next year. Again, this more on next week conversation, but they could lose a lot, and it'd be weird. It'd be not weird. It's going to be interesting to see how they try to rebuild this group. But yeah, just from that performance, there really isn't much to say other than shots just didn't fall, and they just didn't. Yeah, they didn't really have an answer for that. And that was probably the worst game NC State's played in their tournament run. So, yeah, that happened. DJ Burns also king. He's so much fun.
Yeah, he is so much fun. They're trying to get him to play in the NFL now, which is
absurd. Yeah, and then Papaport said something like, this isn't going to happen. And then he's like, but he'd be really good at it.
Accidentally muted myself there. But yeah, definitely not going to happen.
Yo, DJ, is that like a gaming chair? What the hell? What? Dude, DJ Burns' setup is popping, and then they got like the, yeah, what the hell?
Oh, you saw my DM.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I logged on to Twitter just to look at you, Tommy.
Oh, man. Lucky me.
Bro, yeah,
that's objective, like, yeah, the elephant in the room here, like, Stephon Castle obviously is a much smaller human than DJ Burns.
Yeah, but still, maybe some other, like, maybe it's like by seniority. So like the freshmen get like the shitty rooms, and then like the senior. Yeah.
That could be it. Can we please get Stephon Castle a king size bed? He's got a maximum of 2 games left in college.
Here's the take. They all deserve king size beds at the Final Four, because it's the Final Four, and like the NCAA is making a lot of dollars on it.
They can afford it. They can afford the king size beds. That's for sure. They're not going to have to pull a Tommy, Chris, and Michael in New York. Could you imagine?
Hey, that's an experience I'm never going to forget. Some of the best days of my life. Best nights, excuse me. Days, mediocre, but the nights, dude.
The nights. The sleeping situation. Yeah. Moving on, Creighton season also ended. The worst transition ever.
Good at this.
I have a question for you. This Creighton team this year versus the Creighton team last year with Nembhard, who are you taking?
Last year.
Yeah. Kind of in a landslide, right?
Yeah. Aside from like that 0-6 stretch they had when Kalkbrenner got hurt, I think it was 0-6. Yeah. Last year's team was just better. They were more consistent. I think Shireman was a lot better this year than he was last year. But like other than that, I don't think Alexander was particularly better. I don't think Kalkbrenner was particularly better. Frankly, I've said it many times, so I'm going to say it again. Kalkbrenner absolutely did not deserve Big East Defensive Player of the Year this year. That
no.
went to a guy who blocked 900 shots this weekend. Should have, at least. And Nembhard's better than Ashworth. And Kaluma probably would have added more than Mason Miller did. And I think when we look at just kind of that team probably puts up a better fight against Tennessee. Like that game was close, but like there was never a point where I'm watching it. And look, I bet Tennessee, full disclosure. There was never a point. I think that's the only pick I got right over the entire weekend against spread. There was never a point where I was watching it where I thought Tennessee was going to lose that game.
Yeah. Yeah, no. You're absolutely right. I do think they were a Ryan Nembhard away, and that's nothing, taking nothing away from Steven Ashworth, who played his best ball towards the end of the year.
He was the second best player for Creighton in that game.
Yeah.
Like he hit like some crazy shots. Like Kalkbrenner was okay. Shireman was excellent. What Tennessee did really well, and this is, I watched this game very intently, so I can like speak to this versus like the Marquette game. It's kind of simple. They just didn't make shots. Tennessee did a really good job because Ziegler pressured Ashworth like 94 feet. So they just didn't have Ashworth bringing up the ball. Instead, they wanted Ashworth off the ball creating, and they had Meshack because Vescovy got hurt. Or Vescovy was sick, excuse me. They had Meshack on Alexander, and Alexander was the one initiating all the offense. And that's not who he wants to be. He wants to be that guy coming off some screens. He can create for himself, but he doesn't want to be creating the main creator for himself and others. They put him into that role. He wasn't really ready for it. And Meshack's pressure just really got to Alexander. Like they defended him really well. And they knew like how to like just kind of bully. Like Lapis got some hate for this comment during the game when he said Creighton was not ready for a team of Tennessee's physicality, but he was 100% correct. Like Creighton just was not ready for it in that spot because Tennessee is also athletic too, like really athletic. And they got some guys who were skilled and they were able to hide Dalton Connect defensively. And I thought Meshack was excellent on Trey Alexander. He pressured him, made him put the ball on the floor, really annoyed him, and made Alexander create for himself and others that he didn't really want to. They made Alexander the main creator, and rather than having him off the ball where he can torch you.
Yeah, and that's an overlying theme here. Looking back at some of their games, there was a game in late February against St. John's that Creighton dropped when St. John's really took it to him. They dropped two games against Providence this year, that game against Butler. The beefy boys can definitely be physical. And their lack of depth, obviously, was a factor down the stretch yet again for the second year in a row. And they don't like getting punched in the mouth. And that's exactly what Tennessee did. I was going to hit on that point. You did it. I mean, we're on the same wavelength today, Mike. We are killing it.
Man, you know what they say about great minds?
They do think alike. Luckily, ours do too. Let's go to the game going on as we record this podcast. Michael, there's a Big East team playing in a championship. There was a Big East team playing in a championship last night on your campus. The Villanova women.
They're playing tonight on my campus too.
Who?
Seton Hall.
Oh, that's at Hinkle too?
Yeah.
I knew that. Why am I surprised? So they got to take, that's just a lot for the staff. I got to take up the floor and put the NIT stickers down and take the WBIT stickers off.
Oh yeah. And they're like really patrolling like the parking in the area. Like, oh, if anyone else parks at Hinkle, by God, like they apparently one of my buddies works at the, our gym basically. And he was like, they had like four employees come in them and be like, make sure nobody's parked here. He's like, I've made the announcement five times. And they're like, I don't care. You have to make it again. It's like, oh, by God. Okay. So, yeah, the NIT's big deal in Hinkle Fieldhouse.
I mean, the NIT's a big deal. I mean, if we stopped the game right now, we would have a national champion in the Big East. Of course, it is 12 minutes to go in the first half. Oh, shit. They just tied it. As I was talking, they just tied it. We'd have a tie. Which would be crazy. I feel like that would be the first tie in NIT history.
Okay, I'm rooting. I'm sorry, Seton Hall. I'm rooting for a tie now.
We got to get our intern on that.
Shit.
But yeah, no, all joking aside, props to Seton Hall for showing up, man. no Isaiah Coleman, but he traveled with the team. I think this says a lot about him. Was it you in our group chat who said the power of editing can carry us through? Or not, whatever.
Nope, sounds like the power of editing is going to carry us. I'm going to cut right to the power of editing can carry us through. It's going to be, was it you who said, cut, the power of editing can carry us through?
That's all we need. That's all we need.
This part's going in too, by the way. So,
oh, good. Hi, folks. Nice to be back with you after our little off-the-record $6 Insider Club conversation. All right. So, yeah, all joking aside, though, props to Seton Hall for showing up. Shaka's got his boys playing well, playing hard.
Did you say Shaka or Shah?
I said Shah, didn't I?
I thought you said Shaka. Shit, my bad.
Rewind the tape. Shaka's got his boys playing well. Shaka. I might have said Shaka, dude. I'm exhausted. Shah, as in Shaheen Holloway, his guys playing hard, man. They're showing up, which is something that a lot of the other teams in the Big East can't say that they did in the NIT, even though it is the NIT. I mean, this isn't the national championship, obviously, but good to see. Good to see.
To be fair, the place is packed, mainly Indiana State fans, but the place is packed. So
that's good.
Yeah.
Shout out to the NIT, man.
Shout out to the NIT, indeed. Everyone's favorite tournament.
What do you think about the new NIT, the Fox NIT?
You see, you know, I have no, I don't care. I'm not going to lie. I have no takes on this. I do not care. I'm not going to watch it. That I don't want to watch it, at least. I just don't care.
That's fair. I mean, to be fair with you, I got the email from Paquette of the Big East, and he did such a nice job with his write-up. I didn't read like three words into it. I read the first line of it, and I just could not bring myself to read more. It doesn't move my needle.
Oh, Tommy's gone. So I can talk to myself now. This is awesome. As long as like we're talking about postseason tournaments that isn't the NCAA tournament, it's really hard to like get my attention. Like if I watched the NIT final last year, I'll probably watch the NIT final when we get done with this, like the rest of the game. Tommy's back, but just largely, I don't really care about non-NCAA tournament postseason basketball. Good to have you back, Tommy.
Yeah, I mean, I'm on a heater today, saying Shaka's going to have his guys playing hard, and my app just crashed, which was awesome.
Fun.
Let's, I mean, do you have any other points on any of the teams that we've lost along the way, or shall we get to the main event?
I mean, do we want to talk about all the NIT teams we lost on the way too? Like Villanova, Butler, Xavier, Providence.
No, let's move on, please. I feel like you and Chris did a good job of that last week.
Devin Carter didn't return like he said he was going to. What's the big idea here? What happened?
How about that?
No return, and then he doesn't return.
He did not return. And Kim English played into it. Did you see Devin Carter went on Instagram Live, and Kim English was in the comments like, yo, you want to announce the return now with your NIL deals from like Southwest Airlines, Amica, and something else? Or something like that. Like, what are they doing up there in Providence? It's just,
I don't understand anything about, I don't get it, but I'm not. I kind of like the bit. I can't lie. I think it's funny.
Like Carter played it well.
Yeah, I think most of the fans knew. Like, yeah, he's not coming back. The guy's going pro, and like they're rooting for him. They're like a rabid bunch. But now the thing is, imagine like so. Like there was seemingly just by what was on my Twitter feed. Apparently, I saw one tweet about this, so I'm taking this as gospel. There was a faction of Friars fans that was like Friar Nick, and then the other faction was Friar Celtic. So, like, what happens if he goes to, like, the Raptors or some shit? Or, like, some team both those teams hate, like the Nets. Then what's the deal? So, but that's it. Carter's a lottery pick. He deserves to be. At least he should be. The kid's a bucket. We all know he is. I think everyone's rooting for him. He's fun to root for.
He is fun to root for. Definitely rooting for Devin Carter. That was big news. What other big news do we have? Let's play up the UConn bit as long as we can. What other big news do we have in the conference?
DePaul has a couple commits. NJ Benson. I think Chris D'Amico committed last week, but you weren't there for that. And Chris Riddle. They have three. And then I think there's one guy I'm missing right now. But DePaul commits. DePaul, they didn't have a single player from last year's team returning, but they have four guys on the roster right now.
More than you can say about the team in Cincinnati, who has Sean Miller playing shooting guard right now.
But they did get a small forward commit, Marcus Foster, who, good athlete, definitely best in transition, which kind of fits the way they play.
He's a bench guy, though, right?
I think he'd be a six. Yeah, they might start him, but I think he'd be like a good six man. I think he'd be a really solid six man, like an okay starter. Because like his jump shot isn't great. Just like watching him shoot, like, he shot better his first 2 years than he did last year, but like just watching the shot, it's like, I don't know. I don't expect it to really translate to the Big East, and I don't think he's someone you really want creating off the bounce. I think he's solid, but like, I think he's a good bench player.
No, yeah, that makes sense. I feel like there's another team who had a mass exodus. Forgetting who it is. What's Providence looking like next year? I know I'm asking the right person when I ask you this question.
They have holes to fill. We can put it like that because, I mean, you lose ticket gains. You lose Devin Carter, which we talked about. You lose Josh Oduro. Those are your three best players last year who played, and not including Hopkins, obviously, who should return.
Should.
Should, yeah. They got holes to fill because, like, yeah, you need – a three. I mean, you need a two, a three, and a five for sure. And I don't know if, I mean, Rich Barron's going to play some decent minutes. He looked good to end the season. Jaden Pierre probably plays good minutes, but I don't know. Aside from Bryce Hopkins, I think that roster is going to need to like collectively like get better at the sport of basketball.
Have you had Bryce Hopkins NIL chips?
I have not. That was no. Have you?
I haven't, but I've heard things about them. I heard they're better than Kyle Filipowski, though, which is nice.
Should we do a chip? That's off-season content right there. A live chip taste test.
You know what a lot of these schools have nowadays, too, which you can do the chips. They have NIL beers. They have, like, if you buy a beer, like, at in a store, at a bar, or whatever, like, 1% of whatever of the sale, I don't know the percentages, that's just goes to the school's NIL fund. I know Penn State has like a whiteout lager or something like that. If the Big East schools have beers and any breweries are listening, I will drop my P.O. box. You can ship me some. And we got a lot of content to fill this summer. So
okay. Yeah, you do that. If any Big East team has any sort of meatballs or pasta, Italiano, because Big East is Italiano, CC. So that we'll be talking there. But yes, Tommy gets the beer. I get the meatballs.
That sounds fantastic. That sounds like a win-win. I mean, the Italian in you is it's coming through. Did I tell you what I'm making for dinner right after this? I got a bolognese, a nice meat sauce. Woo! Simmering in the Dutch oven right now.
Dude, that's fire.
Yeah, got some. I don't want to mispronounce it, so I'm going to send it to you.
CC. And
I got that kind of pasta from an Italian market, which is like a mile from my house. It's in the private jet.
Yeah. Tagliatelle.
There it is.
That is tough to pronounce. I'm not going to lie. I think I got it wrong because it's tagliatelle when it's spelled. So I'm not going to lie. I think I got it wrong the first time. So I apologize. I would have said
tagliatelle.
Yeah. You see, you could have gotten away with that, too. And, all like, right. I put up this fake Italian thing. It's like, I'm not really Italian. I've never been to Italy. I've been to Little Italy in New York, baby. That's
when we got 2 a.m. pizza at Andy Amos in New York. Oh, my God. Angiamo. There it is.
Good all pizza. Right. That was solid.
I don't like the pizza we got the night after.
No, that one was not good. But then that taco right next to MSG, dude.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, we should have went back the next day. I can't believe we didn't.
What were we doing?
What were we doing? Yeah.
I think Chris and I were severely hungover. I think you were.
You definitely were. You definitely were.
I was. I'm old, dude.
Yeah, people you're forget. Old. That was, you know, it's hard to get hungover when you're me.
It's impossible. All right. We've teased the blog enough, Mike. Let's dip our toes into the main event. The Final Four, UConn playing the Alabama Crimson Tide, who are attending their first, well, participating in their first Final Four ever in school history. UConn's been to a couple Final Fours before. This is the first one back-to-back, though, for the Huskies. Alabama, everyone knows their offense is extremely potent. Talk to me a little bit about what else Alabama's going to throw at them here.
Yeah, we don't need to talk about Alabama's defense because they can't really stop a dribble drive, so we're just going to talk more about their offense, really. Mark Sears is their point guard. It was either him or Dalton Connect for SEC Player of the Year. They ended up giving it to Connect. Fair, just because Connect had bigger moments, but Mark Sears is really, really good. He's special. Ohio transfer. He was on the Ohio team, I believe, that beat Virginia in the tournament. I'm going to double check that right now with Jason Preston. I am incorrect. He was not. That is awkward. Let me make sure I'm incorrect. Oh, no, I am correct. Haha, he was there. He just didn't play much because Jason Preston was a better guard. Thank God. I would have felt so stupid. Sears is really good. He could have been SEC Player of the Year, honestly. He's just so good in the system. He doesn't really turn the ball over a ton. Excellent passer, excellent shooter, can get to the lane. I mean, he's nearing like 50, 40, 90 territory. The kid is really special. He takes a ton of the shots. He has the ball in his hands a ton. He is their main playmaker. He is their best player. He's their point guard. It's Mark Sears at 6'1". He's excellent. The rest of the roster, straight up, Alabama's just going to run. They're going to chuck a ton of threes, and they're going to look for a lot of looks around the rim. But they're just going to chuck a ton of threes, and they're going to have to hit a lot of them. This is a question I've asked most people, so I'm going to ask you. How many threes do you think Alabama needs to hit to like be competitive in this game?
14.
Everyone else answered 15, so 14. There you go. Less.
Less. Taking the under.
Yeah.
They're just no, and it's because I think Sears is dynamic. You know, I listened to, well, I read earlier Nate Oates, who good offensive minded head coach. He had a quote. He said, "We're not going to dribble it and take it right at Donovan Klingon all game," which is something that Brad Underwood could have taken a page out of Nate Oates' textbook there, because that didn't work. That did not work, running right at Kling Kong right there in the middle. This Alabama team's good. Are they good enough to beat UConn? I don't know. Is anybody good enough to beat UConn? Who's to say? Probably not. But it's UConn's game to lose. I mean, we've seen them have off nights. We've seen them get run out of the gym by Creighton. We've seen them lose to teams far inferior, like Seton Hall, who's playing in a national championship of their own right now. Are they winning? Let's take a live look in.
They are.
Seton Hall holds a 5-point lead. 7:40 to go in the first half. Hall knows ball, man. But yeah, I think this is going to be a really fun game. I do think UConn, even if they bring their B game, should be able to move on. But anything lower than that, I think, could make for a pretty fun game. But then on the other side, we have a very fun matchup. DJ Burns, Zach Edey. That's going to be appointment television in the front court there, that matchup. It's going to be which one fouls out first. I got my money on DJ Burns, but
you can't put Burns on Edey. Like, you just can't. Because if Burns gets in foul trouble, then you're kind of toast. So you have to put either DR or Middlebrooks on him. But when those guys get in foul trouble, you're toast again, because DJ Burns can't really check Edey. So, yeah. NC State is going to have to ball pressure for 94 feet. I think that is their best path to victory. I got Purdue.
Yeah.
So I think it'll be UConn versus Purdue, unless Alabama hits 15 threes. Honestly, what are the chances Alabama takes 50 threes?
Not as crazy as people probably think.
Yeah, they're just going to run up there and launch. But yeah, I think it's setting up for UConn-Purdue.
That's going to be really fun if they go out there and launch a bunch of threes. I would enjoy watching that. So let's say Purdue does advance to play UConn. I hit you with this hard-hitting analytic on Easter Sunday, deep in my bag of sabermetrics. 100% of number one seeds besides Purdue so far that have lost in the first round of the NCAA tournament have won the year after. Could this be destiny for Purdue?
It could be. And here's a take that I have about the potential Purdue-UConn matchup, which I think most people disagree with. I think it's a really bad matchup for Purdue. I think UConn is the better four players and then the center. And it's Edie versus Klingon, and I like the Klingon matchup. The only way Purdue wins this game is if we get two fouls on Klingon in 5 minutes. That's it to me.
Which could happen. Zach Edey's really good at drawing phantom foul calls.
Yeah, so I think that is the only way in which UConn loses this game. I think UConn matches it really well. I think UConn's guards are better at all four positions. I think they're more athletic at all four positions. I think they're better everywhere else. So unless Edie is just going to town, I just don't see Purdue winning that game. Purdue also has really good shooters, so like the kickout could be open. Purdue was also going to need to hit a ton of 3-point shots. Really, the way to beat UConn is hit like a fuck ton of threes. And just hope you get lucky. And the two teams they play, gotta hope they hit a bunch of threes. One of them can also get clinging in foul trouble and hope they get lucky.
Yeah, I mean, Purdue is the best 3-point shooting team in the country.
Yep.
So they definitely have the recipe to do that. And like you mentioned, with Edie getting clinging in foul trouble, that could be a path to success. If NC State somehow beats UConn, they're going to get smoked in the national championship by UConn. I don't think that game would be close at all. I mean, it's a cute little Cinderella run that they've had, but that would come to a quick halt. But shout out Kevin Keats, man. He was on the hot seat a little bit ago, and now he's extended his job for many, many years after. That is not me. That's my dog, if you can hear that.
Cannot. He was losing at halftime to Louisville. Then they beat UVA because UVA's best free throw shooter missed two free throws, and they bank in a three. Now they're in the Final Four.
Yep.
I love this stupid sport. I love this stupid sport so much. That's going to be me one day.
Crazy how life changes, man. How's other basketball-related news? Is your brother season over?
Yeah, they lost in the state final.
Oh, damn.
Yeah.
How'd he do?
He played well. They got beat pretty bad in the championship game. I was watching it during, I don't remember if it was the semifinal or the final of the Big East tournament, but yeah.
Oh, that was it?
Yeah.
That was the state final?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought those were like qualifiers.
No, that was the state final.
Wow.
Yeah. They got like the team they played just couldn't miss. Tish played really well. I think Tish had 20 some odd points, but they lost by like 20.
Huh.
The other team was like, I was getting texts from a couple of people. The other team was like really good. So yeah. More power to him. Tish will be back next year.
I was going to say he's got 1 year left, right?
Yep.
And then who knows? Maybe we could have a DeRosa in the Big East. That would be. Would you? If he went to a non-Butler Georgetown school, would you have to root for a third Big East school?
Yeah, my little brother's on the fucking team. Are you kidding me? Yes.
He could collect them all. He's got to transfer to a couple more Big East schools so you can get over 50%.
Dude, I can have like my Thanos power glove.
All right, Mike. You have any closing thoughts here?
We went 35 minutes, and half of it was bullshit. We have nothing to say. Next episode is going to be really fun. We're going to go – we'll make it fun. Even if our big plan doesn't work, it'll still be really fun.
Our big plan will work.
It will.
I'm looking forward to it. Yeah. I mean, that's what happens when you cover a conference, and they've only got two games left, and one of them's going on as we record. 6-point lead, 7-point lead for Seton Hall. Hopefully they can close this one out.
Damn, Seton Hall's gotten 8 free throws. Alamir Dawes been in the free throw line now 7 times. Damn.
Made 8 free throws. 32-6 Indiana Sycamores. Robbie Avila has only got 3 points thus far. Came on a 3-ball. 3 rebounds.
Yeah,
they forced 10 turnovers.
Yeah, which is crazy. And I have no idea how Indiana State's turned the ball over that much time, but he seems to do that to them.
Yeah. Moment's too big. Hinkle Fieldhouse, NIT.
Hinkle, Butler,
the Beaver, baby,
the Big East.
All right, take us out.
Oh,
of here,
my brother. God, Ed Cooley's on the field of 68 right now. I'm definitely cutting this part out because it's not funny.
We do talk about food often. All right, and we are going to get us out of here, Mike. But before we do, we need to have a quick word from our friends over at Rhythm. Look, you guys already know March is filled with unpredictability and thrilling upsets, but what if AI could help you navigate the chaos and win some bets? Enter Rhythm, the AI betting app for player props and game picks. Rhythm stands at the forefront of innovation, offering sports enthusiasts a cutting-edge tool to elevate their college basketball betting experience. The app leverages data sets, historical trends, player statistics, and more to help craft the perfect picks for you. If you head to the link in our bio and on house-enterprise.com, you can sign up for free and find a set of picks perfectly tailored for you to conquer your March. Filter Rhythm suggestion by teams, props, and more to help create the perfect picks that fit your fandom. Download Rhythm, that's R-I-T-H-M-M, create your account, find your perfect picks, and win big. Small little disclaimer, House Enterprise and Rhythm are not responsible for any lost wages on picks you make. Gamble responsibly. If you have a gambling problem, please call 1-800-GAMBLER. That was an ad read, Mike, and I'm glad that it was up on my screen while I was doing this, because what the people can't see is there's a pickle and hi, Tommy, going across the bottom of my screen right now, and I can only imagine the faces Mike was making trying to throw me off, and I would have gotten thrown off.
I like Rhythm. Use Rhythm. I lost money this weekend. If I used Rhythm, I probably would not have lost money this weekend, so don't be like me. Use Rhythm.
Yeah, don't be like Mike. Hey, I think Rhythm's like big Mike on UConn, I think, aren't they?
I'd assume so. Who isn't big on UConn? And well, aside from one person, this person bet against UConn, against San Diego State, against the spread. That did not go well.
Yeah, not going to go well when you bet against UConn in March recently. But yeah, Rhythm's smart. You're smart. We like UConn. I like UConn. Not gambling advice, but I'm going to take the Huskies in this one and the next one.
Sure you will. You won't do it. You don't have the balls. You don't have the balls to take the minus like 160 favorite to win the title. You can't do it. Yeah, UConn's really good.
UConn fans don't want me to do it because every bet that I make loses. So I will sell out and take money to not place the bet. I'll take money to put money on Alabama. Dude, any UConn fans,
whatever he offers, I offer the exact same thing. Anyone wants to pay me money to do anything, I'm there.
We love our sponsors. We love Rhythm.
Rhythm is genuinely great. Use Rhythm.
Yeah, couldn't agree more. All right, Mike, good show. Next show is going to be even better. Hopefully we'll have two national champions to talk about and really go in depth about some end of the season type stuff there. But this was a nice filler episode. Be great. Should be a great, great episode.
Just end it there. But actually, there's something I really got to tell you, Tommy. I think this is pretty important.